Good morning. You're listening to RDU 98.5. It's a Tuesday, and that means we have the pleasure of having a Scorpio Books person in. Cassie, hello. How's it going?
Hello. Very well, thank you.
Fantastic. Happy to be here. Oh, well, we're happy to have you.
Yes, this book, a vibrant yellow. So pretty.
Very colourful.
It's really cool.
I've brought in The First Woman by Jennifer Nansubuga Makumbi.
Fantastic.
It's so pretty. It's so, so pretty. I said this just before. One of the things that, who was it? Rebecca Bell? I can't remember. Someone said on the show once that we don't judge books by their cover, but we do, because you have to.
We do. Yeah.
This book, I've already judged by its cover. It is so pretty. So what is inside?
Okay, well, I want to tell you a little bit about her first book first, actually, sure. And then I'll lead you into this book.
Excited.
Because the first book kind of sets the scene, I think. Mm. You don't have to have read her first book, but so Jennifer Nansubuga Makumbi is a Ugandan author.
Cool.
And her first book was Kintu, which is actually spelled K-I-N-T-U, but the K-I sound is a C-H sound.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is something I recently learned, and now I need to educate everyone at Scorpio about this as well. But so Kintu is the story, it's from the kind of Ugandan oral tradition of the first man, the first Ugandan man.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of the kind of genealogy of this character into kind of modern Uganda.
Yeah.
And it's well worth reading, and I want everyone to go read that as well. But then this makes sense now that we're reading The First Woman, because we've explored the story of the first Ugandan man, and now she's telling us the story of the first kind of Ugandan women. Okay.
Fantastic. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
I actually want to go back and read Kintu now, because they are kind of in conversation. Mm. Not exactly. I mean, they have different characters.
Yeah.
But the kind of mythology and the sort of surrealist aspects in both novels are sort of talking to each other.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool. She's very clever. So I also have to say, like, I've been insanely busy, and I've still managed to read this book because it's so engrossing. Like, it's a really generous story.
Yeah.
Where you don't, you know, it doesn't take you, like, several pages to be like, okay, I'm in now.
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, exactly. So you just read you're reading the first few lines, and you're like, okay, whoa.
You're like, I'm invested already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's really helpful for anyone who's very busy.
Yeah.
We are... It starts in 1975 in Uganda. So we've got Idi Amin in the background. And we're in a small village. And our main character is Chirabo, who's 12 years old. And she has grown up with her grandparents in a very busy household. And has a big question on her mind. Like, she doesn't actually know who her mother was.
Okay.
And this is kind of the seeking part of the story. She's looking out for, who's my mother? And in this village, there's a woman who's known as the witch. And so she goes to visit the witch to figure, because the witch would probably know.
Yeah.
She knows stuff.
Oh, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason that she is the witch is funny. She's a woman who is well-educated, and she kind of breaks social norms in terms of the village culture. And she's also blind. And so the combination of those things, obviously.
Obviously. My first thought, I heard educated woman, and then I heard blind. I was like, so she's a witch, right?
She's a witch, yeah. And this character is really interesting. She kind of takes Chirabo under her wing and doesn't actually answer her main question, which is, who is my mother? But she tells her stories and gives her... There's a lot of storytelling in the novel. And she tells the stories of the first women of Uganda. And there's one of the myths is this idea that men were of the earth, and therefore they rule the earth. And women are of the sea. And women are of the water, and therefore they rule the sea.
Cool.
But because they've come onto land, now men own women.
Ah.
Because they're part of, yeah. So they, they've succeeded their, you know, they could have owned the sea, but they came on the land.
Dang it.
Yeah, they chose.
Just stay in the ocean.
They made their choice.
Totally a choice. That's cool though. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is great. And the that relates to, so in the UK, it's called the first woman, but in the US edition is called A Girl is a Body of Water.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow. They really changed it up for that.
I know. Yeah. It's interesting what publishing it
with,
companies
what
do.
Is it with always changing them for American audiences?
Yeah. Isn't that hard to track?
It's really, yeah. You can imagine someone's going to buy both books and things. Yeah, I've got two different novels here.
Because I feel like, I mean, the famous example is, what is it? Philosophers to Sorcerer's Stone or whatever. Yes. But I'm like, that's like a simple change. This is like, they just are like, no, we don't like that name at all.
I think there was some association with the first woman as being like a kind of a political thing.
Yeah.
First lady. Yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why they've changed it. I like A Girl is a Body of Water as a title.
That's cool.
And it does relate, obviously, to that story. But when you hear the first woman relates more to Chintu.
Yeah.
So that's, anyway. But that's a little bit of, you know, book knowledge for you.
Fun tidbit, I like that.
And anyway, we basically get to see Chirabu growing up, and she encounters these myths and these stories in real life. They sort of become embodied in different ways through different characters that she meets. And that's kind of, it's just like a coming of age story.
Cool.
And there's a lot of themes weaving its way through. Like there's sort of this kind of indigenous feminism, but then you kind of get this Western feminist speaking to that as well.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting because a lot of the young women in high school, they find a lot of, they can relate more to the indigenous feminist stories, but the Western feminism, they sort of think, oh, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to us here. So there's an interesting dialogue there. And then kind of Christianity versus traditional values. Mm. I mean, there's all sorts of... Yeah, I don't know how to summarize it. In fact, there's just too many things going on.
I mean, I love it. That's kind of great, though, you know, when there's that many different things, you know, that, you know, for some people, it might be the old myths and stories that are their favorite part. And then for other people, they like the, you know, more, I guess, modern day Ugandan story. So, I mean, there's something for everyone in there when there's lots of themes.
It's a testament to how engrossing the book is if there's so many different layers and dualities to it all.
Yeah,
so fantastic.
Yeah, I recommend, and I encourage you also to read Chintu, which is her first novel that came.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
any other news, anything going on at Scorpio we should know about or anything like that?
Well, I think they're excited about autumn and more people going inside to read books. There is summer reading, obviously, but there's something about the cozying up and the like book, blanket, light the fire.
Yeah, definitely. It puts you in a reading mood, for sure. Well, can't wait. Thank you very much. That was The First Woman by, if you want to just say one more, I just can't read it from over here.
Jennifer Nasubunga Makumbi.
Fantastic. Woo!